Good morning. This is a special session of the City Council to continue deliberations on a council calendar item heard earlier. Would you call the roll, please, Carla?
A work session.
So we don't have to call the roll?
Do not.
I thought we were actually formally going back into session. So this is a work session. Okay. Commissioner Novick, I know you and Bureau staff are here to delve back into this proposal and answer questions. Council had a lot of questions and wanted to deliberate a little more on this and have resource people here available. So however you'd like to proceed. And I know, again, a couple of us had questions. So.
And I think I'll just turn it right over to the resource people because
okay,
this is far too arcane for me to be able to answer any questions whatsoever.
Come on up. So, Commissioner Fritz, I know you had some questions, so do you maybe want to get those on the table early here? And
so a lot of the testimony we heard was about the Landing Drive.
Right.
And potential for people to be cutting through there, which is a private street. And then I got, we all got just today some concern from the South Portland Neighborhood Association that they don't support removing Bond Avenue and Hamilton Street from the plan.
Yeah, go ahead with your question, but I don't want to. Yeah, I'd forgotten Commissioner Fish wasn't here, so it might be useful to go back through the PowerPoint briefly, at least to get everybody up to speed, including him, since he wasn't here physically for the last discussion. So if you could do that, that would be helpful and get to the three major areas where you're proposing change and the other issues that you articulated in your presentation.
Thank you, Mayor Hales. I'd be happy to do that. I'll switch over to this right now. We didn't have Commissioners Fish and Saltzman present for the last presentation. So
I'm joking that, but I'm not gonna be the one to do it.
You were missed, really, really.
Some might call that progress. I'm not.
Thank you, Commissioners. So what we're starting off with here is a quick overview of the 20-year time frame that we've had on the street plan and the South Waterfront. We kicked it off in 1996. We've had a variety of amendments. Kurt, do you want to just give a quick, very quick overview on what led up to the South Portal project?
Good morning. The currently approved South Portal plan consisted of a pretty significant extension of macadam through this area with large retaining walls and a very large cost associated with it. And there was not funding identified. It was estimated around a $50 million project in the mid-90s. And fast forward to when we were having streetcar discussions with Lake Oswego, and ultimately the streetcar project was shelved or tabled for a period of time, caused us to take a quick new look at the South Portal. And essentially, as Andrew will walk through in the slides, basically, a signalization timing change allowed us to gain quite a bit of new capacity out of the South Portal intersection. That then allowed us to communicate to a number of large developers, including the Zidels up in the North District, of how we could go about funding a much smaller project and getting the capacity back in the South Portal. So we're starting those conversations. We're having conversations later this week with the Prometheus people. I think they're excited to hear about certainty being provided with this new plan.
Thank you, Kurt. Just for the benefit of those watching, I have the map up there. We can refer back to it at any time. So just to jump back to the PowerPoint. So we kicked off the South Portal project about 3 years ago. We've had two open houses. The most recent one was held earlier this year in January. We've made quite a few refinements since the January open house. Back in 2006, the status quo street plan had a high-level cost estimate of $50 million. Just plugging in a 5% inflation per year would be $80 million in 2016, perhaps more. The street plan changes as proposed by this resolution would reduce these costs by nearly half. And just to put that into perspective, $80 million is equal to 9 years of citywide PBOT STC revenue. So the cost estimate inflated at 5% per year would be over $80 million. The current cost estimate that we're working with is $36 to $45 million. And then these are the various stakeholders with whom we've met over the past 3 years. Had quite a few meetings to present this to affected stakeholders. So, Jan, you want to just quickly walk us through again the key challenges in South Portal? Yeah. And then you'll want to hit that little button there.
Make sure I can work this. Okay, so just a quick review. The area that we're talking about, South Waterfront, is a large area, and we're specifically focused on the south end of the South Waterfront area, which we're calling the South Portal. There's a lot of challenges to this district. You know, on one side, it's bordered by the river. On the other side, you've got I-5, so there's very limited connectivity. There's a lack of multimodal connections. There's a lot of congestion in the district, especially with the increased development that's going in. You know, there's queuing that stacks up right now, especially leaving the district, stacking up on Moody. And so, you know, as development continues to grow, the congestion and the queuing getting in and out of the district is only going to get worse. We did a preliminary analysis looking at this area, you know, out in 2035. What if there were no improvements to this area whatsoever? What would that do to the intersections? And just for, you know, reference, it you get volume to capacity ratios that are far above one. So you get volume capacity ratios that are about 1.3, which just means, you know, essentially the whole area would be queued up trying to get in and out. So all of these point to the fact that something needs to be done to the area to improve both ingress and egress. With that, if you go to the next, you guys are just following along in the pamphlet, I guess. page 5. So, you know, this isn't the first time that the city has looked at this area and come up with an option to improve it. Back in the early 2000s, 2006, as Kurt was referring to, there was a plan that was adopted, an improvement that was adopted. But there's a lot of issues with that plan. Mostly it's a very high cost option. It involves realigning Hood Avenue kind of through some steep terrain and, you know, wooded area down to Hamilton Street. So dealing with a lot of challenges with that potential construction, high cost, high risk. You end up getting a 7-lane cross section where this all comes together. So, you know, especially considering multimodal connections, not the friendliest. So between this and some significant right-of-way takes and elements to it, that you know, the city wanted to look at this again and figure out, is there another option that is lower cost yet has similar benefits as, you know, this other proposed option. So we went back to the drawing board, and with this project, if you flip to the next slide, we identified 4 main goals that we were going to use to, you know, look at this moving forward and to evaluate potential alternatives. So they had to do with improving vehicle access and circulation around the area, multimodal mobility, making sure that it was a cost-effective solution. So cost was definitely a component that was considered, minimizing physical impact, so both right-of-way takes and building in challenging types of terrain, and then meeting the needs of future development. So really looking at what's going in as we move forward in capacity, as you know, development increases, what's going to work for the future. So those were the 4 main evaluation criteria that we used when we were looking at different alternatives. If you turn to the next, we're on slide 7 now. The solution that we are proposing has 3 key elements to it. There's some other aspects to it that we'll get into later, but for now, what I want to emphasize are the three main components, which are improvements at the McAdam-Bancroft intersection. Then you move north, and it's providing an extension of Lowell Street so that it lines up with the existing Lowell Street that's there today. This line should actually shift up.
And would that be both ways?
That would be two ways.
And so you could get out and go south or north?
Mm-hmm. Well, you'd have to, McAdam's only one way northbound. So coming out, it would be.
You can only go north, you can't go south.
Coming out of it, yeah.
But you could turn right from McAdam into the district?
Exactly, yes. So that's component number two, and we'll get into some more details with all of these. And then the third one is extending Moody all the way south to Hamilton Court. And then those three components combined really help increase the connectivity to and from the district. You're getting improved access in three locations. By doing that, you're now providing a connection down to the Johns Landing area with the Moody extension and helping with the ingress and egress all at a lower cost than the current option that's on the table. So let's talk a little bit more about each of the options. And
before
if you want,
before you get to the options,
yeah.
Can I just ask a very basic question?
Mm-hmm.
At the area that we're focusing on, when you've surveyed who's accessing the district through there, what percentage of those are people going to Spaghetti Factory or to work? What percentage are people that are accessing healthcare? What percentage are people that now live in the district or are coming for some other reason? Do we have some sense of that, or?
I cannot give you that off the top of my head.
Do we have an anecdotal sense about who's accessing the district from the South Portal?
You know, we know from the models that we use to develop the future traffic volumes, you know, what was assumed in that model development-wise. We could go back and look at those. I guess I'm not sure how precisely, you know, how precise of an answer we can.
Let me try to take a shot at that. I can tell you a percentage would be greater for businesses such as OHSU in the morning as people are coming to the district. I would say people leaving the district, which are probably not using this intersection, the residential uses in the central district are probably going north, probably taking streetcar. In the evening, you would see the businesses, OHSU traffic leaving the district that are creating the capacity, and that would be the time when the Spaghetti Factory users would be entering the district. So big difference between the time of day and when the users are coming and going.
And also anecdotally, I'll tell you that when I have had the bright idea of cutting through here, if Barbara and I-5 are both backed up, lots of other people have also had the same bright idea, and it backs up quite considerably.
Surprising. okay, should we... let me go into a little more detail about each of the improvements. And, you know, as you have questions, we can just go back and forth. So the first improvement is at McAdam and Hood Avenue, Bancroft. It's, you know, called Hood Avenue on the west side, Bancroft on the east side of McAdam. And by doing a very simple traffic signal phase timing and circulation modification, you get much greater capacity out of that intersection. So today, if you actually flip to slide 9, it might show you a little more clearly. And in here, north is actually at the right of the picture if you need to orient yourself. So on the left-hand side, you see a red circle around a movement that shows a through and a left turn movement. What the improvement does is it actually, all of that traffic coming in from Hood Avenue would now turn left, as you see on the right side. So all of it, instead of entering the district from Hood Avenue, going straight through at Bancroft, that traffic would now turn left and head north, which we'll get to. All of that will enter at Lowell Street, which we'll talk about next. So by doing that, you eliminate a the traffic signal phase, and you can basically allocate more green time to the other phases. So depending on whether it's ingress or egress that needs extra time, you know, that can all be taken care of with advanced signal timing parameters. We'd also put in a new traffic signal at this intersection, which I believe the traffic signal today is a pretty outdated model with very limited capabilities. So just doing that alone will help maximize the capacity. So with this, you wouldn't change anything about entering. If you're coming up North Arm McAdam, you could still turn right into Bancroft. Bancroft would still be a two-way in this section. The only thing that's changing is if you're coming from Hood Avenue and you want to enter the district, you would turn north on McAdam. So any questions about that before we go to the rules?
So if parents are trying to get to the charter school from the south, they have to go north, they have to do three sides of a square.
Yes. There are certainly some access points, businesses that, you know, that will inflict a bit of out-of-direction travel.
And then that obviously links into what are the other connections south, right? So I keep going, but I would think that if I was coming from deep southwest, I'm not from Hood Avenue, I might try to cut through earlier than that.
Absolutely. With the Moody extension, you could come in on Hamilton Court and then head up Hamilton Court and be at Bancroft. So, you know, with that, since we're redirecting traffic here, we need to provide an improved access for that Hood Avenue traffic. And right now, Thomas Street is underdeveloped, and you'd have to do kind of a zigzag to get into the district. And with the volume that we're looking at, that's really not an adequate solution. By taking Lowell Street and extending it all the way to McAdam, and sorry, we've switched to the second one now. You want to look at, slide 10. So by providing a through access here that connects directly up to the grid network, you know, it's just a much better flow for traffic coming into the district. It would be an enhanced ingress and egress point. This would be two-way, so traffic could not only flow in, but traffic could come up here and leave the district. There would also be a northbound right turn pocket so that traffic could, you know, pull over, get out of the, you know, slow down so it's not slowing down traffic on McAdam as they slow down to make that turn. You know, the next option to really enter the district is all the way up at Curry. Gaines is one-way outbound. So without providing this improvement, traffic would be doing almost a third of a mile out of direction travel, and that's just one way. So really that's kind of, that's helping provide better connectivity to and from the district.
Just to add what you just said, what we're really trying to do here is to clean up the street grid. Not only is it a long distance out of travel, it's confusing to the average layperson. That's just, it's not physically obvious where to turn in. Abernethy's, for example, has a bunch of loading docks, and Thomas doesn't really have the look and feel of an ingress street. So our thought was that by building Lowell Street, that we could really straighten up the street grid. We can also get rid of a stub of Lowell Street to the south that goes off of McAdam but doesn't actually connect all the way to McAdam Avenue. I would also add, one of the things that we really grappled with during the traffic study is whether to just simply upgrade Thomas and then have traffic come in Thomas and then jog down to Lowell.
Thomas.
Well, you can see this on the overhead projector as well. The reason that we decided against that is when you have these offset intersections, and we have a few of them around town, like 41st and Division, 28th and Stark, they add to, number one, they're less direct movements in the sense that somebody comes down a street, they got to make a corner and then make another corner. From a capacity standpoint, you've got to clear out that intersection. So, for example, if for sake of argument we were to upgrade Thomas and have traffic coming in Thomas, when we did the signal timing, we would have to put enough green time in Thomas that a car or a vehicle coming down Thomas could make the jog on Moody and then make the other connection over. And that, in the end, works against us in our objective of trying to maximize efficiency and vehicle through movement. I also wanted to add, while this does present an opportunity to consolidate property for redevelopment, and I'm specifically referring to the property at 4000 Southwest McAdam Avenue, I do want to be upfront that if we do build the realigned Lowell Street, it does result in the removal of a 63-year-old building, and we have fully engaged with that property owner during the past several years. And this might be a good time for me to jump back to this, and Kurt's a little better at working the Google Street View than I am, but I'm gonna do my best here. So this is the building in question here at 4000 Southwest McAdam Avenue.
We had testimony from that property owner, right?
Pardon?
We had testimony from the property
yes.
owner, and what did they say?
And we had testimony from the property owner. I'm sorry, my button clicked off. Yes, we had property owner from both the underlying property owner and from the tenant as well. And there were some suggestions by the tenant of that property to look at other options, for example, having an ingress point further north. And I think Jen just addressed those issues, that it's about a third of a mile out of direction and works against reducing the vehicle miles traveled and having a more efficient flow of traffic through the district. The other point I would just add to that, Commissioner, is we're trying to balance many different property owners in the district, and we did hear concern from property owners like Spaghetti Factory that if they no longer had the eastbound through movement on Hood Avenue from the freeway, that they didn't want then to have their customers have to go really far out of direction and make a lot of different turns to access their business. So in particular, the Lowell extension does provide the opportunity, when Lowell is eventually built east of Moody Avenue, that people can turn in Lowell Street and go all the way to the Spaghetti Factory without having to make turning movements. So we just felt that it was really important not to put people on a path that put them really far out of direction. And then one last thing before we move on to the next slide in the presentation. It's really important to note that while there is a property impact to the property at 4000 Southwest McAdam Avenue, the trade-off is that we have much less property impact from other properties along where the future Bond and would go, the Bond Avenue extension and Hamilton Street would go. And Kurt, you're welcome to jump here on the Google Street View if you want to point it out that way, if you want me to jump back to the map, whichever you prefer.
Thanks, Andrew. I'll just point to the map here. This is the Ben Springs property that's been in question for a number of years. I think Tesla is in the process of setting up sales and service in this location. They're probably not going anywhere for a while. It's an old single-story concrete tilt-up building. The current plan, street plan, would require us to essentially condemn this portion of the property. This is a difficult property to develop because it also has a very significant greenway setback from the river. So we lose about 100 feet of the property. From that side, we would need 65 feet or so for a new Bond extension, and then some additional right-of-way if we were looking at that street connection. So this property would be significantly impacted, as would the current charter school property. We did acquire a little bit of right-of-way here that would need to be vacated and given back to the property owner. And then this is the old Group McKenzie Engineering Building. We would need another 50 or 60 feet of property here to extend Bond. So that would come off the table with this proposal. That proposal.
I might also add, with any one of these proposals, we didn't have a lot of willing property owners stepping up and saying, we really want to work with the city and dedicate all this right-of-way. So when you start adding in a lot of right-of-way acquisition, it certainly adds a lot of cost and risk. Obviously, again, there is right-of-way acquisition at 4000 Southwest McAdam Avenue, but it's a much reduced amount of right-of-way that we would have to acquire into the current proposal. So if there are any more questions on that, I'll jump back to the PowerPoint, and then Jen is going to take you to slide number 12.
Yeah. Okay, so on slide 12, We're looking at the Moody extension, and that would extend Moody south of Bancroft all the way down to Hamilton Court. And what that does is it would be a two-way street. And like Kurt was saying, in the previous adopted alternative where Hood Avenue came down to Hamilton Street, it required both Moody and Bond being built out. Each one of these was going to be a one-way street. So again, a lot of right-of-way take there. With this recommended alternative, Moody would be two ways through this area. You can see a depiction here of potentially having kind of a two-way a bikeway, and then sidewalks on each side. So it's taking multimodal components into account. The intersection at Bancroft and Moody would have a traffic signal, and there would be a slight lane configuration in the southbound direction, so that the southbound right would have its own lane because of the high volume, and then the southbound through and left would have the adjacent lane, which is slightly different configuration than today. So with that, you're getting an additional connection into the district that doesn't exist today down at Hamilton Court. You're also providing people who are down in John's Landing, they can access the South Waterfront District now without getting onto McAdam Avenue, major arterial.
Is that the place where there's the private road?
So the place in question that was brought up last time, Landing Drive, comes into Hamilton Court about right there. So it's barely 100 feet off of McAdam Avenue, which is just, not an ideal place for any intersection to be.
But can you get back onto McAdam coming out of the district there?
Yes. Hamilton Court would be two ways.
And you could go either way, north or south?
On McAdam there, yes.
Yeah. I might just add, I don't know that I highlighted this as much as perhaps as I should have on November 16th, but one of the key changes that we made based on feedback from the John's Landing stakeholders was we included a mini roundabout at the intersection of Hamilton Court and Moody Avenue. So I just jumped ahead to slide number 13 so people can kind of follow it. But we added a mini roundabout at Hamilton and Moody, and the idea is that even today, people have a hard time making that left turn from Landing Drive onto Hamilton Court to get out to McAdam. There's just not a lot of capacity for cars there. One of the key benefits of this revised proposal is this would actually provide a connection point for people in John's Landing to use the Moody Avenue extension to go to Points North. So they would be able to come up Landing Drive and make a right turn on Hamilton Court and then take Moody into the central city or South Waterfront. For those folks that still wanted to go out to McAdam Avenue, they could make a right turn off of Landing Drive, go to the mini roundabout, come back out. They would have the right of way because they'd be coming through a mini roundabout, and then they could go back out to McAdam and hang a left. I think the key point I want to emphasize is right now, 100% of the traffic coming out Landing Drive has to go out to McAdam because there is no other alternative. We think that the preponderance of destinations will be to the north, to South Waterfront, and the central city. So by providing that Moody Avenue extension, a lot of those folks will have no reason to use McAdam and can go out that way. Whereas the current street plan only would extend Moody down to Hamilton Street and would not provide that connection to Hamilton Court or to Landing Drive. And so there would be no relief on the horizon for these property owners under the current street plan.
And what's about the concern of the neighborhood association that Moody will go from four lanes of traffic, two streetcar tracks and bicycle lanes, into two constricted lanes?
Jan, if you don't mind, I'm going to try to provide the layperson's explanation and feel free to jump in here. But the way the city traffic engineer explained it to me is when you're coming southbound on Moody Avenue and you make the right turn on Hamilton Court and you're approaching McAdam, At the point at which you now have a decision to make whether you're going to make a left turn on Landing Drive or continue west up to McAdam, you're just a few car lengths away from making a left turn onto McAdam. Now, here's the interesting part. If, for sake of argument, somebody wants to go Landing Drive all the way down to Boundary and then turn on Boundary to then go down on McAdam Avenue South, the distance traveled is about 10% longer, and you still have to wait for a left turn at the signalized intersection of Private, Bancroft Street, and McAdam Avenue. So while we can't perfectly model driver behavior, we just simply don't think it's likely that by the time somebody gets really close to McAdam on Hamilton Court, that they would choose to jump off and go southbound through. And calling it a private street is a little bit generous. It's really more like a parking lot. We just simply don't think that that's going to be an attractive route for people to take. And we certainly could restrict left turns in the future if that's what the property owners and John Flanding wanted us to do. We just don't think it'll be necessary because we just think it'll be much more attractive for people to continue on up Hamilton Court and make the left turn at McAdam.
But what's about the southbound traffic that's come down on Moody? Won't they continue to try to avoid the congestion on McAdam and go south through the Landing Drive property?
We don't think so because, again, the travel distance is longer and you still have to wait for a left turn at Bancroft and McAdam. But, Jen, do you want to address that as well?
So just so I understand, you're talking about what if cars want to come down here, they're on Hamilton Court, and then they want to go south on Landing Drive.
Right.
Are they trying to get to somewhere on Landing Drive? Or
no, they're trying to get around the traffic.
Okay.
Or should I say I'm trying to get around the traffic?
You know, we did not model this intersection in our analysis. All of the development and volume for this area was accounted for through, you know, looking at the city's growth model and the planned development. So all of that development was accounted for. I think that volume was probably, you know, loading in a slightly different area, you know, just off of Moody over here. But like Andrew was saying, you know, if things are congested going down Landing Drive is not necessarily going to be an improvement for the driver. I mean, in designing this, the area can be, that the roadway can be marked so that you don't have people blocking that intersection if that's a concern. But yeah, congestion wise, it makes a lot more sense. If somebody's trying to go south, even if McAdam is backed up, Landing Drive is going to very quickly get backed up and you'd probably be better off just staying on the main road.
And what's about the neighbors' concern about Moody extension? Is that going to be four lanes going into two when you make it both two way?
The Moody extension would just be two lanes. This part here.
And
there's actually, potential cross section is shown on slide 14.
Yeah, we have slide 14 that shows what that might look like. This is a concept at this point. Yeah.
The whole stretch of Moody between Bancroft and Hamilton Court would potentially look like this cross section. So it's really just two travel lanes.
Isn't that coming down? There are currently two travel lanes southbound. Off of Moody, and they would funnel into one.
Yeah, because one turns right.
Yes, so at this intersection here at Bancroft and Moody, the right lane would be a right turn only lane, and then the left lane would be a through left lane. So that traffic, you know, should be filtered into the correct lanes up here, and coming down, you would just have a single lane in each direction.
So, Jan, I might just add, we're on slide 14 here. We talked on November 16th. A couple of things about the Moody Avenue extension. We currently have no public water mains on Moody, what we would in the future know as Southwest Moody Avenue. We have no public water mains between Southwest Bancroft Street and Southwest Hamilton Court. There is a system of private water services in that area. We don't have a whole lot of information on those. If we do build Moody Avenue, we will build a new public water main. It would take a little bit more research on our part to research the extent to which there may be a deficiency in water service in that area. We're not sure that there is. But what we do know is that it would be a big mistake to build Moody Avenue and not build a public water main in Moody Avenue at the same time.
Are you saying there are also no fire hydrants down there?
There are some fire hydrants down there. I believe that they're private. I don't know whether the spacing is adequate or whether they're up to current standard. I know on some of my LID projects, we periodically replace fire hydrants in the course of doing new LID projects. Again, we're a little bit short of information on what systems are down there, whether they're adequate. What we also don't know is the extent to which they've been maintained properly, whether the property owners in the area have done an engineering review, et cetera. So there's a lot of unanswered questions, Commissioner.
Well, I'm sorry that we've been outed in this public forum for the creeping privatization of our water system, but we will so has the Water Bureau done an assessment, or do you want us to do an assessment of capacity there?
I don't believe that they have done an assessment, but what they have done is they provided me a copy of an ordinance that was passed by council in May of 1974, and there were a variety of agreements with McAdam Investors Incorporated, waiving quite a few sections of Title 17 of City Code as it relates to having public streets, addresses on public streets, etc. There were agreements in that ordinance to maintain, for example, I believe it was 20 feet of clear, that the various private streets would be patrolled privately on a periodic basis to make sure that there weren't any obstruction, for example, for fire access, that it wouldn't be up to the Portland Police Bureau to ensure that the access was maintained. There was also in that ordinance a waiver of remonstrance against the future LID for improvements down in this area. We're not proposing an LID today. But certainly, I think there was some recognition that there were some trade-offs in terms of going with all these private streets back in 1974. And you might also remember we had an LID that council approved within the past year on Northwest 20th Avenue, where there was a street that was vacated. We went back and re-looked at that a number of years later, decided that wasn't a real good move from a connectivity point of view, and then formed an LID to reconnect the street that we allowed to be vacated. Without belaboring this, I would just say that I heard a fair amount of feedback from John's Landing residents that there was a certain amount of unhappiness with the current situation in terms of the level of access provided by those public streets, or excuse me, those private streets.
And obviously in every case in South Waterfront and South Portland, where we have radically changed the context by both planning and infrastructure investment and OHSU's investment and everything else, the infrastructure, whether it's the Water Bureau or anybody else, particularly the Water Bureau in this case, but also BES, will have to be sized for the floor area ratio that's in the zoning code, not for the one-story buildings that are there now.
And Mayor, if I could just add to what you said, I maybe provide a little more thorough answer to Commissioner Fisher's question. I think the time where we could take a more detailed review is when we start thinking about putting together a funding proposal. Remember that this resolution does contain a directive to staff to put together a funding proposal. So I think in the course of further refining the scope and the funding, we could engage with the Water Bureau to find out what we do or don't know about the water mains and fold that into the project proposal that follows.
So you mentioned about potentially needing some property to make the streets build out, but one of the properties you mentioned was the ICE facility, and we know from experience with the other federal properties that they're not necessarily very helpful in allowing us to do what we need to do. So what's about that?
Thank you for bringing that property up. A couple things. This property is currently owned by a private citizen. It's being leased to the Federal ICE Building, so it's not actually under federal ownership. So our ability to work with that property, and we've actually contemplated this plan coming together from them. As you may recall, when the ICE Building came to council, we anticipated a need for some street retail along Moody. And so that building is actually designed so as we bring the grade of Moody up and extend it through here, that property is actually required to come back and retrofit a small portion of the ICE Building. include the retail. So I think we'll have pretty good success working with them. We're in a good position to negotiate with this property because they have some land that we would probably look to give back to them. So if we need a little bit from them, I think we could work there. And then this property becomes much easier to deal with when we don't have a new road bisecting their property.
Presumably the Charles School is renting as well.
Correct.
And just have we had a lot of unfortunate behavior from the location of the ICE building there? Has anybody had any complaints?
Not heard one.
I have not heard one either, so I just wanted to make that point.
So anything else you want to cover before we just dive into for more discussion? But
yeah, I think just to maybe hit a couple of highlights here, I'm going to just move this on to slide 15, which is the just sort of put together all the different aspects. Couple notes that I took from November 16th. A lot of the issues that were raised in the testimony on November 16th were indeed among the very first issues raised with the South Waterfront Street Plan in 1996. While that certainly doesn't lessen the importance of that testimony or the issues raised, I just want to emphasize for council that we have been grappling with these issues for the better part of 20 years. I think the way Kurt described the status quo street plan was unbuildable. And really what we're trying to do is to move away from an unbuildable, highly risky project that would be extremely difficult to fund and kind of right-size this. Though while it's certainly not free of impacts, it's certainly not free of trade-offs. Just much less expensive, much easier to build with a lot less project risk. Certainly an expensive project any way you slice it up. Another point I would just quickly make is that there will be a rail component to Southwest Moody Avenue, so we are not contemplated extending Southwest Moody Avenue without a rail component. On balance, we think that the streetcar extension, the north-south line down to Hamilton Court, is probably the more viable of the two options as opposed to reconstructing the Willamette Shoreline trolley, but that is something that would be decided following council approval of the resolution. The resolution does contain a directive for PBOT to negotiate with Portland Streetcar Inc. as far as extending the north-south line south to Hamilton Court. There were some discussions on November 16th about further extending the streetcar to Lake Oswego. We have Dan Bauer here who can address that. I can tell you that nothing in this resolution contemplates that. And I would also say that the issues, the questions about whether to further extend the streetcar south, whether to Selwood or Lake Oswego, have been around predating the South Portal project, so this doesn't newly open up the issues. I think if anything, this provides us on a path to getting resolution of that long festering issue in terms of whether it's going to be the trolley or the streetcar. And I think that's pretty much it, other than I just wanted to again emphasize, let me just go to one last slide here. This was a slide, this is slide number 17 on your hard copy. This really points out how much public infrastructure that we have in the area. So this area was divided up into five polygons. Polygon number one is the area north of Bancroft Street. You can see that they have 49% of the area, but they have 93% of the public streets. You can see polygon number two, which is where we're proposing the Moody extension between Bancroft and Hamilton, has 13% of the area, 7% of the public streets. And there are no public streets in polygon 3, 4, or 5 between Hamilton and Carolina. So for over a mile, as you drive north on McAdam, you will find no public streets as you're traveling on McAdam. So this would be a small step towards addressing that. Mayor Hales, I think you raised some philosophical questions dating back to your prior tenure as transportation commissioner. Not sure whether you want to bring those up or now, but the clear takeaway that I took from hearing the John's Landing residents speak is they probably need more public streets, not fewer, and I think the Moody extension is a first installment toward doing that.
So I have a question, and then I do have some comments that might help inform our discussion. My question is, let's stipulate, and I believe this, that in this effort you are making improvements in the street plan as it was originally drafted and as it's been revised over time. That we started with essentially no grid in this neighborhood, we've got a partial grid, we're expanding that in a practicable way, my thoughts. In order for that to work in the long run, you know, for this to be a great urban neighborhood, there are some other things that need to happen, and I guess I want to make sure that we know that they're going to happen. One is that your diagram shows that the undeveloped parcels will indeed participate in the completion of the greenway, as we're certainly expecting and planning and helping to pay for happen in other parts of South Waterfront. But my question in this case is there any weakness? Is there any likelihood that somehow we'd miss it and go, oops, we got another South Park Block situation here where we almost had a continuous greenway, but some wily property owner and their lawyer screwed up the plan? Are we in any danger there?
I see
cross-examined
no, I see no reason why we would miss that opportunity. Okay. You've got to check with PBOT doing development review. You've got to check with BDS doing design and greenway review at multiple levels. So there are many eyes on that property, and to my knowledge, a cooperative landowner developer.
Okay. And one of the reasons I asked that question is that in order for this street plan to work, we've got to have a lot of pedestrian and bicycle circulation. We've already got the best transit access of any neighborhood in the city. There is no other neighborhood in the city that not only has $1.5 billion worth of transit infrastructure showing up in the neighborhood, but that has all three modes of streetcar, aerial, tram, and light rail. So this neighborhood has been blessed. So any concerns about property owner impacts need to be balanced against the fact that this neighborhood has been blessed with $1.5 billion worth of public investment. That is increasing the highest and best uses of property there by enormous orders of magnitude. So I'm happy about that, and I'm happy for the property owners as well. But in order for this all to work, the pedestrian and bicycle system really has to work, because we don't want most trips in this neighborhood to be by car. That's why all that transit is there. So that's why I wanted to ask that question. We can't have any weakness that in the pedestrian and bicycle piece. Second related question is, your plan does not specifically outline street alignments through the 10-acre Prometheus property that used to be the Pegasus property. The owners apparently have a weakness for Greek mythology. We got started on this process in part because the Pegasus owners proposed a 10-acre gated entry development, and the city won that case and beat back that proposal. Same kind of question as before. Are you fully confident that our connectivity requirements and code will assure the inclusion of public streets in the Prometheus property when it is developed?
I hate to throw caveats, but pending any national, federal lawsuits that change the development review process, we should be getting those streets. They're in the currently adopted street plan. Any project that Prometheus would bring forward would have to adhere to that street plan or come back to City Council to amend that street plan.
Maybe you just left them off, but if they're in the adopted street plan, why aren't they shown on here?
Good question. I believe these are actually dedicated public rights of way today that are on the map, so they have not actually been dedicated. We are actually in conversation with Prometheus and their attorneys right now on the timing and phasing of their project and the dedications of those streets, so those conversations are in place. And if I can go back to the last one and not forget about Parks also has an interest in the Greenway Trail, so there's a third set of eyes there, and probably most importantly, we have a neighborhood association. We have residents that are in this district that we didn't have 16 years ago that would provide that fourth set of eyes, making sure that those trails and streets.
Back to the Prometheus property particularly. If we are going to bite the bullet and rely on Lowell, then I have to hope and assume and expect that River Parkway is going to be extended to Lowell.
We will both get River Parkway for north-south, and we will also get an extension of Abernathy. East-west.
Okay, that's what I would expect.
So in support of that, just like we've got the greenway in dotted different colors, I do agree with the mayor to put it back.
It should be on every map,
yeah.
Frankly, not just because I care about it and because it's a planner's fancy to make sure that the plan always looks good, but we should never admit that any prospect that we lost that case because we won it.
Mayor, I just want to emphasize that the TSP update does retain River Parkway down to Lowell. Again, this map is just simply showing where the currently dedicated rights of way are. I'd like to just add one other perspective, if I may, that I think part of the reason why we don't have all the street connections we want is precisely because there's so much ambiguity, difficulty in building out the status quo. So Kurt is more the development review expert than I am, but I would like to think that by coming up with a street plan that is actually buildable, that it is more likely that individual property owners, such as Prometheus, maybe even the Ben Springs property, instead of just sticking with the status quo because the street plan is too expensive and unbuildable, complicated, et cetera, by providing more certainty, development certainty, that we're much more likely to get the Greenway completed, get River Parkway completed down to Lowell, extend Moody, and do all the other things that we want to do down here.
So a request, when you bring this item back to council, let's map those future right-of-ways to be dedicated on the map and let council adopt those. Belt and suspenders.
Yeah. This is certainly more clear to me than it was the first time through, so it's been very helpful. Thank you. I'm not sure. I want to check on your process for when it comes back to council. Is there anybody from the Neighborhood Association here today?
Yeah.
I would actually appreciate if there's a representative who could come up and give me the local opinion on what these changes.
Okay.
Yeah, just in general, having heard the discussion here today and the follow-up from last time and your letter, what's your advice now, please?
I'm sorry, the question?
What's your advice? What are your concerns about where we are in the process?
My main problem is eliminating this portion. And that's because
what you are giving up is, first of all, you're coming through here with a very tight corridor, the two lanes going in each direction. What you could very easily do is, of course, you're taking property here. You would eliminate in this tight corridor two ways. You would move the traffic onto Hamilton Street, and then onto Bond. Additionally, the streetcar coming up here, the streetcar could then go back down this way. That eliminates a congestion here with regard to the streetcar, because in effect, you're going to have to pull the streetcar all the way over to the northbound lane in order to get the streetcar through here. What that does is basically says that you cannot have an egress heading west on Bancroft in this block.
Thank you. So, Kurt, why are we not just continuing the current pattern of one down one way and around and then back again?
I think as we were trying to downsize and keep the cost in check, recognizing that this connection and this connection were not going to be voluntarily provided by that property upon redevelopment. That would be a city take and a substantial city take for that property.
But on the other side of the ledger, again, redevelopment, just like it is here, it's going to be a 10-story building. I mean, it's going to be, much higher utilization of the land. So I guess again, the current building and its current use as a car dealership, fine, for the short run, but no one I think is under the illusion that that's what's going to be there 20 years from now. So this is for the long run. Streets are forever. Having just gone to Rome a couple years ago, I was reminded about that they're not around for 100 years, they're around for 1,000. So you better get them right the first time. So what's the harm of keeping a future right-of-way on that portion, even if we can't afford to build it right now?
I put a couple of thoughts to that one and answer that as we continue the work session here in a couple minutes.
I have three comments. So, sorry. Okay, so I'm talking about landing, and right now there's two egress points, Hamilton Court and Boundary. And I take a little bit issue with what Andrew said, because now you can come down Hamilton or Landing Drive, and then you can come out here and go either way. Well, now if you want to go northbound
towards the city, you're going to have to go down Hamilton, go around the roundabout, come all the way back up. So you're not going to do that. No, because it's going to be stacked with traffic. So this kind of goes off our use, which then means that all the traffic is going to be at Boundary, which I understand, you know, it's probably workable, but then to do no improvements to Boundary when you're making this, you're taking one of two exits away from us. And so, and people that, as far as additional access to us, we walk or bike. You know, why would you want to get in your car to go to the South Waterfront and then have to park? I mean, already you've said the traffic is an issue. We don't drive down there. We walk or we take the 35 bus. To the, yeah. So that's the one issue, is that Boundary is going to be impacted, and then Landing Drive, because all these new buildings, we know we're getting the density, and we should. I mean, that's where I want to see it. But you're not improving Landing at all. So when they talk about this costing a lot less, well, yes, it is costing the city less, but the costs to the adjoining neighborhood are not part of the equation. So you're not getting a full picture of the impact of these changes. And I understand all this has to happen. I just want to make sure that John's Landing has a means of dealing with it somehow, that you don't say, well, the cost is this because we're just going to put all this under the rug. It's their issue. We're not considering that. So, and then the last, the streetcar, if you make these changes here, that means that the streetcar will never go on McAdam, which is where all that money was spent on the Portland to Lake Oswego study. So it's never going to go there. And so I've heard you say that you don't think it's going to get to the Selwood Bridge, which I can't imagine we spent all that money on the Selwood Bridge without it.
I don't believe it. We spent a lot of money on
the Columbia River Crossing,
right.
Too.
But I think it's going to get there eventually. And so by going through the neighborhood, these 65-foot easements, they're takings too. So you talk about minimizing takings. Well, by having it go through the neighborhood, it's just a taking in a different way at a different time. So by doing these things here, we know it's never going to McAdam, so we know it's going to go through the district. So you do have, and then Heron Point, because of all the buildings, they're the last access point for the streetcar, which we've all figured out, which, again, I have many emails from Dan Bauer saying it's not necessarily going to happen there. You know, we've not been given the information that was clearly available to other people. So I'm just trying to say is that, yes, it's cheap, but if you take the impact of these things, it's not as cheap as we think. And maybe this is the only way to make it happen, but somehow you need to help fund some of these issues.
So let me paraphrase both of you here in a way that, again, I'm inclined to make a change in this based on what I've heard, or at least to have the council discuss one with the team, because overall I think this plan is excellent. But if there were a dotted line future potential right-of-way dedication or future right-of-way dedication line here that both set the table for a discussion with that property owner about dedication of right-of-way in exchange for developability, which is not an unusual conversation at the city, and kept the door open that if the streetcar ever did actually go south, it might go up to McAdam as it was talked about. That would be some reassurance to you.
Up to McAdam where?
Up here. Okay. But if this was still here, it could still make that turn.
Right.
I think the actual entry for the streetcar is here,
right,
at Bancroft.
Right.
Not on.
Okay. But I thought you said that it might have needed to go.
I think it's a grade issue, isn't it?
Dan. Okay, Dan, we'll get you up here in a minute. But, or maybe get you up
I
here
can,
now.
So
just pull up another chair. You can take the one on the end. This is a work session, so we don't have to be too formal.
Dan, before you go ahead, you were talking, what kind of improvements to Boundary would you want to see?
Well, I think Boundary... I think that's where I keep hearing that once the streetcar goes past Hamilton Court, the next site is to have it go along the right-of-way between the Heron Point buildings to a parking lot off Landing, which is by Boundary. So somehow provide it's we're going to have traffic stacking there. And so I don't know how to fix it, but there's only about three spots on Boundary before you get to McAdam where you can park. So there's